Good morning. A lot of people are talking about preparedness lately. And so I thought I would explore that a little bit. Now, we live in crazy times. So how do we be prepared for these things that have come upon us recently, like COVID? How do we prepare for losing loved ones to a pandemic? How do we prepare for Ukraine? How did the Ukrainians prepare for what they're going through? That all of the things that they've worked for have been destroyed, and they have to leave their home with nothing. How do we prepare for economic downturn? How do we prepare for inflationary upturn? Does it sound a little like wars and rumors of wars, plagues, and a pound or an ephah of flour will sell for $5, or any other signs of the times? Be prepared. It's the Boy Scout motto, and Dave's not here today. The other day. Okay, so that's right. And anybody who was a Boy Scout in here probably has some baling wire, some rope, a little duct tape, maybe a few odd tools in their truck, right? Okay. So there's preparedness for all kinds of things. There's people that have food stored in 5-gallon buckets. How much is enough? How much ammo is enough ammo? It's the times. Well, that may help you prepare for some stuff. How did we prepare for Y2K? Had it really come to what they were predicting, a real shutdown of things? How long, really, before we would be in trouble? Should we go on preparing and worrying for every contingency? I like the story in Luke 12:20, where it says, "The things you have prepared when your life is required of you tonight, whose will they be?" So I have a bad habit of going to the Bible, maybe it's not such a bad habit, for answers and guidance. I began thinking about all the examples of people suffering and hearing from God in the Bible. Those tasked with overwhelming odds, those who were led by God on seemingly impossible missions, those who left to endure hardships and trials in their service to their people. Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Deborah, Esther, Ruth, of course David, and all the prophets, and then Jesus, and Peter, and John, and James, and Paul. And the list goes on, documented in non-canonic literature with saints, church leaders, martyrs, and kings. There must be a message in their lives for us. These examples of men and women are for our benefit to listen, learn, apply, and prepare us for the experiences we endure now and how we might endure them in the near future. How do we respond to the trials in our lives and how the time in the desert affects us? Can we accept them as given to us to learn from and be strengthened by those events? Then we can use them to help others in similar trials. When we are past the desert and exit the storm into the light, how well are we prepared to endure and come through these trials? Psalm says in 66:10, "For you have tested us, you have refined us like silver. For what purpose? Simply to secure our salvation? Just to get through it? Or to make us stronger, more pure, to share and be a witness that our Creator stayed with us through it all, which helps to prepare others." Paul says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." And Isaiah says in 57 and 62, "Build up, prepare a way for the people without obstructions." Our lives have meaning and purpose. We either help to build this world up in love for his purpose, or we tear it apart. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom when we seek out, when we seek it out and pray for it. Some comes through our experiences previously ordained. Visions, like Ezekiel and others had, that guide and direct them to take a message to the people or a person, to hit a rock like Moses, or to speak to the king. The Lord prepares my steps. He lights my way, and he prepares our hearts and minds for such times as these. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for the good works he has prepared for you." He gives us an experience to prepare us to serve in his will, to be a co-worker with him. 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field for planting and harvesting, God's building blocks for his kingdom." He provides all we need to succeed in preparing. We are to focus on what we can do to be better, to be ready for the darkness or the desert. In Matthew 25:8 and following, he reminds us to keep oil in our lamps, to always be full of the Holy Spirit and prepared to face the trial. When we have the fullness of the Spirit, we can weather any storm, answer any call, and serve faithfully and mightily. James 1:2-8 suggests that we should count our blessings as joy, because they help to prepare us and make us ready to serve. To be prepared in obedience, as Joshua was, when he led his people to receive the land, the prize, salvation, and the shalom rest, which Moses could not complete the task. We might ask, in the midst of the storm, why we are having to go through these things, especially when it happens that the wicked prosper. David also struggled with this theosity concept. that's a sermon for another day. We can't compare ourselves with others, only prepare ourselves. Sometimes the storm is even brought on by our own high and low pressures, meeting in the valley of turmoil and chaos. The good news is God will always provide a way out or through the trial, provided we are in Him and open to His leading. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Most of us have not really learned how to carry the shadow side of ourselves very well. It's much easier to have a dualistic view and see things all good or all bad, rather than both crucified and resurrected at the same time, as Christ is. Our whole self included with Christ in death and resurrection, hidden in Christ for us to search out, find, and live with. In Christ, we also discover and cultivate His mind, mercy, love, and His Spirit, which we also carry within us. Colossians 3. Part of preparedness is to recognize that our whole self has the same access to Christ and our completeness in Him. When we suppress, deny, or hide the shadow part of us, it loses the opportunity to be transformed and stays buried and not resurrected. God accepts and loves our full self, gives us healing and forgiveness. When we get that, then we can give the same forgiveness, acceptance, and love to others. Complete, not just our minds. Though it starts with each of us, this thing called church, it is about participation in holiness. It too has a shadow self that needs attention through the wholeness of the body of Christ. But be aware and on guard. Sometimes when we try to live up to the resurrected image of a spiritually enlightened, knowledgeable, selfless, patient, forgiving, easygoing, supportive, and generous human, the dark side of our nature just gains power in pride, arrogance, self-righteousness enters and replaces humility, vulnerability, and patience. We already know the law. Oh, by the way, this is a quote. We already know the law of compassion because it's written on our hearts. We contradict our own good common sense when we seek ritual purity or any kind of moral superiority instead of loving who and what is right in front of us. It's Richard Rohr. We live in liminality. That is, constant transition and change, always in the midst of passing through another or over another threshold. There is nothing known or secure about the future. But there never has been. Is there a time, a snapshot anywhere that shows something other than uncertainty? All of history was scary, mysterious, and people were wondering, trying new things trying to make sense of the chaos. Where is the peace and the stability? We have been searching for it as long as there has been human life. What appears to have been stable is our need for God and faith, that there is more than the confusing world we live in, that there is hope of a better place, a better way, where the hatred stops and the love persists. Our hope is that we know and trust the Holy Spirit enough that we learn to listen and to his leading and his guidance through the turmoil and life in this world. By hearing with prepared ears and seeing with prepared eyes, we learn to love, pray, trust, forgive, and we prepare our hearts and minds for the way that lies ahead. We like ranking things. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your state of preparedness?